Rez Onifer had a short time while in hyperspace to catch up with his father, Rod. They were both avoiding telling each other details about what they had been doing, so they connected over details of ships they had flown. Rod had figured that his son was involved with the rebellion by how little he was being paid, and it sounded like what he was about to do would be the end of it, so he made a suggestion. "When you're done with this, and I get my ship back, what say you help me finish my last mission and then we hop the galaxy together?" "Let me guess what your last mission is," Rez said. "Destroy a certain YT-2400. Rod scowled at Rez and leaned back in his seat, listening. "Or was it to get the pirate ship?" Rez continued. Rod did not respond. He leaned forward. Rez flinched. Then Rod turned his head toward the hold of the ship. There was Huff. He had heard the conversation at the front and was leaning back in his chair with a satisfied grin on his face. Rod leaned back and turned to his son again. "Your ship?" he asked. "No, I'm just the space Uber," Rez said. "That was some mighty fine flying," Rod said. "I know," Huff shouted from the back. "He actually flew the last one. I was in the Headhunter." Rod jolted at that, remembering how Rez had led the space depot into his wingmen. "Even more impressive," he said. "You're not mad?" Rez asked. Rod glanced toward the back again, then at his son. Then he chuckled. "Yeah, I'm mad, but also a little proud. My boy." Rez smiled and relaxed. "Looks like we're coming up on Samoom," Rod said, turning back to the controls. "Everyone strap in. We're coming out of light speed." The swirl of hyperspace was replaced by sparkling stars and a green and brown planet before them. A pair of Star Destroyers sat in orbit with other smaller vessels scattered between them. They signaled the lad and Rod handled the bureaucracy. In the back, Valina had her eyes closed, concentrating on the surface of the planet. She tried to see into the old rebel base, but the powers of the Sith temple in which it had been built had grown, and all she could see was darkness. She did, however, see just outside of it, and where the Imperials had landed their lat, and that all entrances were heavily guarded. She had no idea how they would get past them. As they neared the atmosphere, Kyle noticed something unusual. His comm was alerting him that he was receiving a signal on a specific channel. He turned to it and found only signal beeps with no words. He considered the possibility of an Imperial trap, but why would only his comm be receiving this signal? He went ahead and answered it. A man answered. "Far Orbit Resort, how can I help you?" The voice was familiar. Kyle hesitated a moment, thinking about it. Then he lit up. It was the voice of Duhe Pimpezi, the Chiss slave who had been freed at the same time he had been. Huff had purchased them both with kyber crystals found on this planet. Kyle was silent for so long that Duhe said again, "Hello? Do we have a clear connection?" "Doogie?" Kyle asked. It was a nickname Kyle had given him because he found it difficult to pronounce his real name. "Who, may I ask, is speaking?" "Did you get a job at the resort?" Kyle asked. He did not want to give away who he was in case others were listening in, or if this was a trap. Duhe seemed to recognize what he was doing as his voice changed tones ever so slightly. "I purchased the resort recently, and my company now owns and operates it."
"Your company?" Kyle said.
"Yes, former employees of House Petro. They are the finest workers in the galaxy, and you will find the rooms very accommodating and well-stocked." Praxis was nearby and heard what was being said, so he cut in. "What about the other guests at the resort? Is it very crowded?"
"Alas, no, sir. The Imperial fleet is frightening away customers, so we have been forced to weather this drought. We would welcome your patronage, and you will have the run of the resort should you decide to visit."
Praxis went to the front and told Rod to land at the resort. "That's a long way from the Sith Temple," Rez said.
"Sith?" Rod asked nervously.
"All entrances to the temple are blocked," Valina added.
"Temple?" Rod said.
Kyle joined them at the doorway and said, "The other slaves you rescued bought the resort."
"Resort?" Rod asked. "Bought the resort? With what money?" Huff asked, standing.
"He was in charge of the loose kyber crystals," Valina said.
"Kyber?" Rod said.
"How is he running the place on his own?" Rez asked.
"I'm lost," Rod said.
Land of the resort,
everyone told him. As they approached, they could see Duhe Pimpezi coming out to meet them, and he wasn't alone. An escort of workers in resort uniforms were accompanying him. Kyle recognized them. "Other slaves from House Petro?" he said. Rod looked over his shoulder at Kyle.
"Dad, watch the ground," Rez said, and Rod turned back to the controls.
Once they landed, Duhay kept up the ruse. He welcomed his new guests and invited them to come inside. They did, and the group entered the lobby. There, leaning against one of the chairs, was a familiar face, along with her sister. They were in matching armor. "Anna," Valena said, smiling.
"Khaleesi,"
Kyle said with relief. The sisters smiled. They were decked out in their armor with their helmets removed. Each suit of armor had special attachments, and their blasters were at their sides. Other staff was gathered about. All were ex-slaves of House Petro. Duhay Pimpezi stood before them. When everyone was gathered and all the doors were closed, he began his explanation. "After you left to confront Project Lifeseed, I took the liberty to use the Kyber crystals to purchase the freedom of the remaining slaves at the Palace of Petro. The Queen seemed willing to sell, so I further purchased the miners and grounds workers. Everyone who worked for Her Highness was freed."
"How many of my crystals did you spend?" Huff asked.
"About half. A single Kyber crystal goes a long way."
"I know. That's why I was saving them. Where's the other half?"
"I spent them purchasing weapons, supplies, and this resort," Duhay said. "The building and all the lands were quite expensive." Huff nearly blew a gasket. His hands were shaking near his blasters. Valena noticed all of the workers nearing desks, carts, chairs, etc., ostensibly where weapons were stored. The Zen sisters were not so coy. They openly reached for their weapons. It was clear where their loyalty lay. Duhay Pimpezi was unafraid, staring directly at Huff without flinching or saying a word. Huff calmed down.
"Well, I guess it's as good a use as any."
"There are a few left.
Where?" Huff asked.
Duhay pulled out a handful and held them forward for Huff. Huff scooped them up. Then, thinking about it, he dropped half back into Duhay's hands.
"You earned it, I guess," he said, and he backed away. Then he said, "So what's our next move?"
"We can rebuild from here, sir," Duhay suggested. "Though we are directly under the Empire's nose, so we may wish to evacuate to a safer location."
"There is no safer location," Praxis said. Worried looks grew over everyone's faces. "He's right," Huff said. "The Empire is developing a powerful weapon that could be more devastating than the Death Star. A combination of giant soldiers and Sith warriors. And they're being built right here on this world." A murmur rumbled through the room. Even Duhay looked worried.
"Where?" he asked.
"Where do you think?" Huff asked, approaching him. "The Sith Temple. Our former base. They didn't just take it to clear us out."
Huff now turned to everyone in the room and declared,
"If we don't stop them from doing this, there will be nowhere to hide."
"We just need you to get us there," Rez said.
"No," Valena interrupted. "I'm afraid we need to ask more of you. Every entrance is well guarded, so we need you to help us break through them."
"How do you know how well guarded it is?" Duhay asked.
"It's powers. Weird stuff she does with her mind. Just trust her," Huff said.
"Very well," Duhay said. "We owe you our freedom, and we wish to help defend our freedom from anyone who would take it again. What is the plan?"
Welcome to Star Wars, Age of Rebellion. This is an RPG Storytime presentation of a campaign played over several years utilizing all three Star Wars role-playing books by Fantasy Flight Games. This is a grand campaign where everything you hear was decided by players in an epic-scale role-playing and strategy game, then turned into this production that tells the story one chapter at a time with occasional explanations of game mechanics. The episodes are shorter than most gaming podcasts because each session is summarized in the form of a story much like an audiobook. It begins with a small band of agents played by a few role players. As the Rebel cell grows, more players are brought in to take on the roles of other operatives heading out on other missions and taking part in various battles. Every choice affects the direction of the story, both for the characters on the mission and for the overall story arc. And the ultimate fate of the Juvex and Senex sectors is up to them.
The Imperial troops were crowded near the entrances of the temple. General Anmir Medel, now in charge of the operation, wanted plenty of protection, so he scattered troops throughout the grounds and clogged up the arteries of the canyon from wall to wall. No one would slip by them. The rebels had managed to make their way to the canyon and looked down from above. They had made their way through the woods in speeder cars and bikes from the resort.
Rod had had to leave the Lat behind as it would have been spotted. Now they could see all the Imperial troops below. They had some scouts in the woods at the top of the canyon, so the rebels were not able to position themselves directly over the troops at the bottom. Duhay waited for the rebel operatives to get into position. He kept all of his troops hidden. They were used to remaining invisible. It was what they had had to do as slaves for a long time. Rod was among them, ready with his land speeder. The Zen sisters were ready too, prepared to launch into the attack. Kyle sent them the signal, and Duhay nodded to the troops at the front. They rushed the scouts and blasted them apart, hurling their bodies over the edge of the cliff. They then tossed grenades, mines, and thermal bombs over the cliff edge, which exploded among the crowded Imperial troops. Scouts from the opposite ridge fired at them and sent speeder bikes. Troops from down below loaded into transports and flew up the cliff. The ex-slaves pulled back into the woods, having caused enough damage to get the attention they desired. In a rage, General Medel threw everything at the rebels, flying up nearly all the troops under the command of his subcommander, General Dietrich. Within minutes, they were out of the canyon and into the woods, pushing toward the enemy just visible through the trees. Hoff and the others watched from a concealed position in the canyon. Felina could not use her foresight ability here because of the dark presence, but she could see when the Imperials had sent everything they were going to use, and the ones who were left looked manageable. So they hurried forward, still remaining hidden, into the area of the temple. The crystal mine was to the right, so they started in that direction, creeping as quietly as they could, remaining low under a deadfall. Unnoticed by anyone, Kyle crept over to a slope and slithered up like a snake. Praxis found that he and Indiana were making noise, so he stopped them behind some rocks and hid. One of the stormtroopers started in that direction. He stood over the deadfall, looking around. Just at his feet, the rebels made hand signals to one another. Huff tried to motion to Rez to get his gun ready, but Rez sent back a confused gesture, and Valina tried a different signal altogether. They silently argued with one another. Then they heard the hum of a lightsaber above them, the slash through armor, and the thudding of bodies to the ground. They stood to see Kyle standing over the decapitated body of a stormtrooper next to the door to the Kyber Crystal Cave. He turned off his lightsaber and headed for the next corner. Huff and Rez followed, the former getting behind a pillar, and the latter positioning himself behind Kyle, who peeked around the corner and spotted three nearby troopers. Valina approached the cave door, followed by Praxis and the dog. She tried to see inside, but the darkness was still too strong. She felt a darker presence, however, and knew something dangerous was inside. She slowly pulled open the door. Inside, she saw the silhouettes of two people. One was kneeling before the crystal wall. The other was standing in an awkward position. As her eyes adjusted, it seemed as though the standing one was body parts stitched together. At the corner, Huff signaled to Rez, and Rez signaled back. Again, they could not decipher each other's hand gestures. All of a sudden, they realized that Kyle was gone, disappeared into the shadows. Huff found him approaching the troopers. One of them seemed to spot Kyle, but Kyle poked a finger, and the trooper looked the other way. Then suddenly, Kyle leaped out and slashed the trooper in two, and stabbed the next one. The last trooper pointed at him, and blaster shots flew in, taking him down. Both Rez and Huff were there, both taking the credit for the kill. The figures in the crystal cave heard the commotion and turned toward the door, lighting their light whips. Valina swung the door open wide and challenged them. The zombie servitor came at her first, and Valina leaped down, dodging the blows, then slashing across the midsection, recutting it in two. But it was just a distraction, for the other one whipped down on her. She dodged a fatal blow just in time, but it burned her skin and she stumbled. Visions of her failure flooded her mind, the memory of the pain as her arm was cut and her lightsaber ripped from her grasp. Her confidence failed her, and Valina tumbled away until her back was nearly against the wall. Praxis fired, but his blasts were caught by the whip. Indiana charged, but the blasts were snapped into him and he staggered. The distraction was enough time for Valina to be filled with something else, an energy from the wall. Out of her peripheral vision, she saw herself from not long ago in this very cave. She grasped Jarn's hand and knelt down, feeling peace throughout her body. That peace had radiated through the cave, banishing the evil that had inhabited it. She pulled in that piece now, and felt the force flow through her. She even closed her eyes. As the whip came down, she knew where it would land, and she dodged it effortlessly. Another blow struck across her chest, and she knew exactly where it was coming, so she ducked under and spun to the side. She never tried to parry with her blade to give it something to hold on to. She maneuvered away until the servitor was winding up the whip again, and then, without ever opening her eyes, Felina slashed straight across the servitor, cutting him in two. Up ahead of Kyle, two more stormtroopers were guarding a doorway to the main hall. They had heard the blasts, but Kyle used his power to distract them and make them think that they had heard nothing while Huff and Rez moved up to him. Kyle kept them all invisible to the troopers' eyes until Huff blasted them both, and they pushed up again to the doorway, where they listened to what was happening inside. They could hear someone chanting, like a religious ceremony. Huff pulled away and asked Rez, "What have you got?" "Stun grenades."
"That's it?"
"Well, a thermal detonator."
"Thermal detonator?"
"Yeah."
"You could have led with that," Huff said.
In the crystal cave, Praxis saw to Indiana's wounds while Felina knelt and reached out to the presence that had pulled up her memories. She felt the room clear of darkness, the way it had when she and the others had first arrived and fought the spirit within the chamber. Soon it came to her, and a smile grew across her face. "Jarn," she said. But it was not Jarn as she had known him. He had altered, moved on into another state. He was something more than she had known him to be. He communicated something to her, not quite in words, but in feeling, just as he had passed on the memories to her. He provided her the strength she had given him when they had been in this room together. Kyle pulled open the door ever so slightly. It had been a ceremonial chamber in years past. The rebels had turned it into their command center, but now it had been returned to its original state. At the end of the chamber were the Imperial Commander and the lead servitor who had sliced off Felina's hand, and Agent Dawes, whose body was propped up as if standing with the others. His leaned overhead revealed that he was still deceased. Before them was a slab with dusty remains and bones laid out across its surface. A handful of stormtroopers stood about the room watching curiously. The servitor was chanting something, and the commander stepped forward and moved the bones into a specific pattern. Once he did, the dust on the slab began to glow.
"What's happening?" Rez asked.
Huff readied his weapons. Somewhere in the distance, mutant dogs began to howl. Indiana howled with them.
"They're awakening," Felina said, approaching them from behind.
She stepped up the stairs, then readied herself at the door. Taking her cue, the others prepared themselves as well. Kyle threw open the door so everyone could see. Spirits arose from the stone table and drifted about the room. Everyone in attendance was transfixed by the sight, all but the lead servitor, whose eyes landed on Kyle at the doorway. She grinned as if to say, "Welcome to the show." A light arose from the slab onto the body of Dawes. He was covered in a blinding glow, which then shot from his body into every stormtrooper's chest. They shook as though struck with lightning. All the spirits changed shapes into horrifying demons. Kyle froze in fear. The bolts of light on the troopers stopped, yet they still stood there, hunched over, clutching their weapons. Dawes was still hidden behind a glow of energy, and the dust on the table was sucking onto him as though magnetized. Kyle wasn't going to let that happen. He lit his lightsaber and began to charge, but suddenly he was lifted into the air, choking. Huff ran inside, guns blazing. The servitor dropped Kyle, who fell to the ground, gasping, and deflected Huff's shots. One of them came back on Huff, and he was forced to duck under cover. He looked back at Rez and said, "Now's a good time for a thermal detonator." Rez tossed in his bomb. It dropped further than he had hoped. Huff and Kyle dashed for the door and leaped out as it exploded. Everyone was blown off the platform. As they crashed to the ground, spirits flew out of the room above them. Praxis watched them as they roiled in the air. He realized where they were closing in. "The statues!" he shouted. Just as he said that, one of the statues began to move, as though trying to break free of the cliff wall. Praxis began shooting at it. Rez followed suit. It was not hard to hit, but it was difficult to chip away the stone that made it. The zombie troopers emerged next. Their bodies were ripping through the armor, and flames were lapping out of the gaps. Some of them still clutched weapons which, when they tried to fire, were useless. But they still came at the rebels. Indiana leaped in and tore at them, pulling out limbs, then squealing in pain at the flames, but still ripping them apart. The commander emerged next, his blaster pistol leveling on Indiana. "Hey!" came a nearby voice. He looked over to see Huff there with his heavy blasters leveled on him. "Nobody hurts my puppy," he said, and he blasted a hole through the man's face. As he fired, the lead servitor leaped out of the door. Felina intercepted her. She had been waiting for her, letting anyone else pass until she saw that white and black face. Their lightsabers clashed and Valina fell back with her amber saber, parrying the servitor's blood-red blade. Huff began to follow them, prepared to take any pot shot he could, but then he felt a rumbling that rolled out of the chamber. He looked just in time to see the entryway smash open, and the hulking undead mass emerged. It was a twisted, rotting version of Necros Dawes, a giant monster twice Huff's size. "Eh, I can take him," Huff muttered, and he began blasting with his twin pistols as he backed away. The spirits were zipping into statues, whose eyes opened and whose bodies shook to life as Praxis and Rez tried to keep up, shooting them as fast as they could. Praxis noticed that when he shot off enough of the head, the statues seemed to get lost and crumbled to the ground. He shouted this information to Rez, who threw his last grenade. It landed in a statue's lap just as it was standing and exploded. The statue crumbled to the ground. "Its balls are sensitive too," Rez shouted. Praxis took a look and realized what had actually brought it down. "Its legs! Shoot out its legs!" "Got it," Rez responded. Huff was not far away, continuing to pull back from the giant undead Dawes. Its footfalls made the ground shake, and it threw boulders at Huff with the force. Huff dodged and ducked, occasionally shooting the rocks that were coming at him. He took a page from Rez's book and shot Dawes in the balls. It had no further effect than anything else. The lead servitor was continuing to lurch at Valina, who was giving ground as she parried the blows. Her eyes were half closed, trusting the force to show her the right moves. This seeming lack of attention insulted the servitor, and she lashed harder and harder at Valina, kicking off boulders to fly into the air and come down harder on her. Valina saw what she was doing and was able to dodge swiftly out of the way with ease. She then cut at the servitor, who had to stumble back on her heels to avoid being hit herself. In the temple grounds, one of the statues pulled free of the bonds of the cliff wall and stood. Praxis turned from the statue he had been shooting to face the living statue, and the one he had been firing at stood behind him. "They're moving!" Praxis noticed stones near him beginning to rattle and swirl into the air. "And they're beginning to know their powers," he began to despair. He and Rez could not keep up with them, and more were coming to life. The first statue turned its eyes on him, and he felt his mind begin to slip. Then suddenly the statue's head was released from its body, and it crumbled toward the ground. A blue glow waved in the swirling dust, and Praxis spotted Kyle leaping from the neck of the statue toward the next one. He and Rez cheered. They might just get ahead of this. But then he felt the same despair seep over him as he saw the spirit that had gone into the statue emerge again and go toward one of the others. He didn't know what to do about them. Huff was pulling away from an even deadlier dilemma. The powers of the undead Dawes were growing, and now lightning was emerging from his fingers, striking the ground around Huff's nimble feet. He danced around them, but he would not be able to avoid them forever, and his shots seemed to be simply making the beast more angry. Valina seemed to have the servitor on the ropes. She struck at the woman, and she parried. She struck again, and the servant of evil fell back once more, her lightsaber falling to one side. Her midsection was open. Valina was tempted to leap forward and slice her foe in two, but then a feeling entered her head, one of memory and clear thought. She remembered having the initiative before, lashing out at the servitor who seemed exposed, but it was a feint. The feeling of Jarn's hand in hers, of their mutual peace, flushed over her body. Valina was at peace once again, and she pulled back into the embrace of the light side of the Force. Her ruse exposed, the servitor lunged again at Valina, who knocked the saber aside. This time it was the Dark User who exposed herself too much, and Valina sliced her hand from her arm. The saber and hand flew from her grasp and tumbled among the rocks. Valina swung her saber around to the back of the servitor's neck. She looked at Valina with her black and white face. She spoke to her in a voice that was not her own, one made up of all the evil that clung to the rocks and stones of the Sith Temple. It penetrated Valina's mind, as it had the old Jedi who had ventured here, the one who had become trapped for years. Valina froze, unable to move. The head of the servitors used the force to pull her saber back to the hand she still had. As she did, Valina saw her demise in her mind, and it snapped her out of the mind control. She parried the attack, then brought her saber down on her opponent, slicing her down the middle. Having ended her foe, Valina listened for her friends. They were overwhelmed. Huff was hit with lightning, causing him to tumble and lose one of his blasters, but he kept moving, shouting for help. The others were trying to cut down the statues, but there were too many of them, and all were lifting stones with the force, about ready to cause the entire valley to become one large tempest of flying boulders. She sensed the evil within these statues, the spirits of long-dead Sith who would live again inside these giants. There seemed to be nothing their party could do. Then came the distant voice of Jarn once more, as though calling to her from the depths of a well. "The cave," it said. "The power of the cave." It felt right. Valina did not know why, but it felt right. She rose and shouted to the others, "Get to the cave!" No one questioned Valina. It was not so much that they trusted what she was saying, so much as they had no solutions of their own. Hoff had been making small gains in shooting off chunks of large Daws, but it was still coming at him, and the others were still behind on taking down the statues that were now flinging stones at them. So they all ran for the crystal cave, as did Valina. Once inside, Valina told the others to guard the doorway while she ran to the plinth. They did as told, and the giants appeared at the entryway. It seemed as if they could not get in. But then one of the statues began bashing at the door. The entire chamber shook. Either it was going to get through, or the cave would collapse on them. "Whatever plan you've got, do it fast," Huff shouted. Valina knelt and meditated. She sunk deep into the force. This was not the solution most of them were hoping for, and they began to fire at the giants trying to break in. This caused them to flinch, but they were back in a moment. And soon, loose stones in the room began to float, then fling at the rebels like bullets. Kyle understood what Valina was doing, and using the training of Davith, who had lived in this temple for years, he meditated in the force as well. As the room shook around them and dust and rocks fell from the ceiling, the energy of the giants outside seemed to dissipate. Huff, Rez, and Praxis prepared to fire on the intruders, but the burst through the door never happened as they expected. Bit by bit, the pounding slowed until at last it was a lethargic rhythm, and then, at long last, silence. Dust was still spilling from the ceiling, and the room was still shaking. There was still some fear of collapse. But when Valina rose to her feet upon the plinth, they were sure it was over. Huff did not hesitate. He stepped quickly to the exit and strode up the stairs. Giant undead Daws was laid out on the ground, his corpse already decomposing, and the statues lay crumbled upon the ground. Indiana leaped atop the back of one of these fallen Sith, its purple tongue panting, its mutant tail wagging. "Good dog," Huff said. The others climbed out of the caves as well. Even without a sense of the Force, they could feel that an evil had been lifted. Looking up at the top of the cliff, they saw the remains of the ex-slave army peering down at them. A victory celebration had already begun. They had won. Indiana leaped down to his master. "Very good dog," Huff concluded. This has been an RPG Storytime presentation of Age of Rebellion. Join us next week to hear what happens next. If you'd like to see a visualization of this episode, check out our YouTube channel. The link is in the description. If you'd like to see other things written by the author of this show, you can also find that in the description. Happy gaming, everybody!